Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles, and we own buildingfortunesradio.com. I started this many, many years ago when I wanted a platform and the ability to hand microphones to people that I wanted to hear from, and I figured you would too. So, and as I knew that there would probably be a silencing of some conservative views or silencing of some alternative viewers, I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to be able to constantly be able to spread that information all over the place. So whether it's building a home-based business or whether it's ideas about survival or pandemics or whatever, I wanted to make sure that we had that. And one of the first people I called was Darlene Sartori and asked her if she would want to host one of our Building Fortunes radio shows. One of the reasons why is because I had known Darlene as being a regular one of our customers, but she wasn't a regular customer. She was someone who asked me a lot of questions about a lot of things. I knew she had the Ideal Network going on, although I didn't understand really the depth of the Ideal Network when we first got started. But as a result of doing this radio show, I have learned so much about Darlene Sartori and the things that she knows and are in obvious awe in reference to the amount of knowledge that this person has in reference to a lot of things, including the stuff you're going to be able to hear today. So you can sit back, enjoy, and listen to Darlene when she comes across her very, very deep and sometimes, abstract. She makes you think outside the box sometimes in reference to, like, what are you doing? And I know for me many times I've been stumped saying, you know, I've been so wrapped up in my day-to-day thing, really wasn't thinking about that, but I know I need to, because those days are going to come no matter what. So here we are on Building Fortunes Radio with Darlene Sartori. Darlene, thanks for being here.
Hi, hello. Well, I'm going to do a little bit unusual, or maybe the same as I always do, is kind of wing it today, because I was asked earlier today to make a presentation tomorrow evening about something known as the Mayflower Compact. And basically, as we're going forward with some of the projects that we're working with and creating a new model that we can utilize to replace this one that is no longer functioning well for us on this planet, what do we do? You know, if we have complete freedom to do anything, create anything that we would want as a new model for governing on this planet or governing our own self, what would it be? And, you know, you've heard me talk about things like, you know, self-governing and dynamic governance and different types of words that have come out to kind of describe something that we might call something that we are creating that would give us a better framework in which to work. Well, I've often said that in this situation, the most common one that we have as a reference point for us in this framework right now in America would be what's known as the Mayflower Compact. And the Mayflower Compact was a basic agreement among those on the ship that was known as the Mayflower. And actually, it originally was known as an agreement between the settlers of New Plymouth. And these passengers on the ship ended up being in an area, landing in an area where they really weren't supposed to land. and there was a little bit of conflict going on in some of the things in the contracts that they had made and the agreements, but they suddenly realized that they were free. And so what would you do if you suddenly figured out that you were free? Would you fall back into the habits of, you know, that you have become accustomed to? Well, as I read the Mayflower Compact, I'm thinking, is this really what I would have done? Well, I'm thinking of it from my reference today. I know what it feels like to be basically free, but not completely free, because we have all these rules and regulations that we have to live under. Well, you know, this group of people were actually the first ones to sail across the Atlantic, the ocean, and say, you know, we actually are free. Nobody's really going to stop us from doing anything that we'd like to. What would we do? Well, and according to, where I go first, what do I do when I'm asked to do something and I'm still not clear of how I'm going to do? Well, in today's world, we've got a thing called the Internet, and we've got something called Wikipedia. And so we start looking at things of what other people have done, because there is this something within ourselves. Once we go past being a young child, that we suddenly realize everything that we do in our life is by somebody else controlling and telling us what to do, that we really do not have complete freedom, complete liberty. And remember that I'm coming from a framework of this idea of the word ideal. I do everything around, you know, light and life and love and liberty. But what does that mean to do everything around liberty, you know, freedom? Do I really do everything around liberty? Well, maybe I do it around the concept, the brain programming that I have in my brain at the moment about what does it really mean to be free? What does it really mean to have liberty? Suddenly beginning to realize more and more the reason we don't have a truly free society is because very few people really know what it really means to be free. Now, I watch, again, my great-grandchildren, and they give me some insight into what this idea of being free really is. And sometimes their thing to be free gets them into a little trouble because their freedom might cause some confusion, some unsafe situations, because they don't have the framework yet to be able to make choices that are truly, truly free of their free will. So as we go forward over the next couple weeks, I'm going to explore more and more into why we are in the mess that we're in today with this pandemic and other things that we've been keep talking about, is we keep giving away this innate, inalienable right that each of us have as human beings with free will. We keep giving it away. Is it because we're afraid, that we're fearful, that we can't learn to be self-governors, that we can't learn to act without doing harm? Is there something within the DNA code that gives us that fear, or is that learned fear? And as I watch my great-grandkids, I'm beginning to realize that more and more, this is learned fear, that we are born with certain things that we do to live, not because we're afraid of death, but because we desire to live. We breathe, not because we're afraid that if we stop breathing, we're going to die, because, you see, we don't have that consciousness in the beginning. we only have this instinct to survive, to breathe, to do the things that are required to sustain life. And as we watch our children and our youngsters as they're beginning to grow, we begin to realize that's exactly what they're trying to do, is figure out how to keep living, to have the liberty to keep breathing, to do the things that are required and that we are responsible for doing to keep that level of life. Ah, I see, said the blind man. Life is about being free enough to do the things that give me the thing that I really prize, and that's life. I want to protect those things from being taken from me. And if you watch a child playing with a toy with another child, often that other child will reach over and try to take what might be sitting next to the other child, and that child reacts with grabbing it like it was going to play with it. So we suddenly start seeing that as we go through our process of being human beings, we are learning habits that we don't easily break. And when I first was introduced to the concept of the Mayflower Compact, my first thought was, yeah, this was a document that they were the first free people to be able to make a choice. And this is what I've been taught from others, that they had the choice as free individuals coming across and landing here, and there wasn't anybody looking over their shoulder, so to speak, etc. But then as I began to read the text of the Mayflower Compact a little more in depth, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you, if you haven't read it yourself and you haven't seen it, to go and look at the text and look at the history around it and see where you come up with. Because if we're bringing and basing what we're doing today on documents of old, the question is, are we really doing ourselves the justice that we should be? Are we providing ourselves with the foundation to create a new model and make the old ones obsolete and it'll disappear on its own accord? Do we really have that ability to make wise choices? So here's what, this is called the modern version because apparently the original might have been lost. And it says, in the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and Company, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinance, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time, it shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 24th, Anno Domini, 1620. So this is kind of a lot of words that are hard to put together without stopping and thinking about the words that they're actually using there. But my first gut reaction was, as I read this this document today, is the same as I had many years ago when I first read it. It's like, aren't they doing exactly what they just left? If they truly were free, why did they pledge themselves and et cetera under, as loyal subjects of the dread sovereign? I saw in this what the legacy is. And I probably am going to be in the minority when you first start thinking about this. Wasn't this a free and sovereign group of people? But they didn't know it. I don't think they had a clear-cut understanding of what being free was. And I'm wondering how many times a myth gets passed down that then reconnects us to something that says, well, these were free sovereign people. They came over on the Mayflower. They were Puritans, and they were getting away from and escaping. Why did they turn around and do exactly the same thing again? So this is where I'm at right now, is trying to figure out, how do we create a new model when we are building it on a foundation that might not be completely sound? And so I began to realize that what we each need to do is to sit down and really think about it. If I have complete freedom, what would be my fears? And most people will say something to the extent, well, you know, I want to be completely free, but I'm not sure if that other guy over there needs to be completely free because he might do harm to me. So there you have set up the first criteria of why we need to have some kind of rules and regulations to prevent other people who we don't trust from doing harm to us. So maybe we need something that's a little deeper. We need to go a little deeper into ourselves. And what is it that we actually do have in order to get from where we're at today to truly being a free, sovereign individual who can be free and safe? A word came up today about a group of people that are doing something that's called creating a safe haven. And it's apparently what they're doing is creating a situation to learn how to live free. And it's not really living free. It's just being able to avoid having harm done to you by the current people that are in charge. Well, isn't that kind of what we do when we're getting free as a teenager or as a person leaving our family? Maybe the family has become dictatorial, or we feel like we need to escape. Isn't that kind of what we do as children? We're still throughout our entire life attempting to get free from somebody who seems to have control over us. Where do we go to learn the skills to really learn how to live free without a whole lot of encumbering free regulations and rules and taxation? If you have the opportunity to build a free society, what would you do? Well, into this week's, it came out July the 21st, the Society newsletter written by the some of the neo-think groups. And in there is several good starts to this. And one of them is an article written by, let's see, I thought I had it over here. Okay. Evan Hulse, H-U-L-S-E. And he entitled it Hamilton Antarctica. And what he's talking about is having something that is achieving what he's calling the prime law government. And basically the prime law government is all about no initiatory force or fraud or deception. And so there's that dynamic of do no harm. And so he looked around and he's writing in the article here, where in the world would we go if we wanted to create a free society? Probably we would have a situation where we'd be deported. And the only place that he could find out of all of the land masses and et cetera, the only thing left was Antarctica that hadn't been claimed by some group of people. Now, I'm not sure about that. Somebody may have already claimed Antarctica, but that was his question, is somewhere on Earth, where would we go? We've got the wisdom now, is what he's kind of pointing out, but where are we going to go? And so then he makes this comment on the third paragraph, is basically to found a new country requires, one, a permanent population. Okay, that's kind of the reason. A defined territory. Yeah, you'd probably want to say, okay, we're going to live within this jurisdiction, this area, this territory, this piece of land. Number three would be a government. Oh, really? Do we need a government? Okay. Four, capacity to enter into relationships with other countries. Yeah, okay, we do want to get along, don't we? So we'd have to find a way to have good relationships. Number five would be declaring independence. Okay, I think we already did that. Gaining recognition is number six. In other words, are people going to let us be free? Number seven, joining the United Nations. Uh-oh. So we're going to be right back where we started. So I'm trying to point out that even those who are really truly looking to have, and then he goes on and he talks about, well, then maybe an ocean, a floating city might be a solution. So there are people that are actually looking at how would we go about this. And I've not yet, in my research, found anybody that can yet tell us how we're going to get from where we're at to where we would like to be. So how are we going to get to a destination if we cannot identify the destination or how we're going to get there? So as we get more and more into this is again where we're putting the Art of Living Academy and some of these dynamics into play again so that maybe we can eventually, with all of the brains that we have on this planet, with all of the research that's been done, can we truly be a free, sovereign individual? Can we truly have a society that works to honor the ability to be free and sovereign? Now, I talk about this idea of having ideal families that would then help us to have ideal lifestyles. So does it go all the way back to the family? Probably so, because we all start life unable to take care of ourselves. So what I'm trying to do here is spark some thinking processes among people who do truly not do harm to anyone else and are seldom harmed by anyone else if they don't do harm to someone else. So is it that simple? Are we making things too complicated? Or is it because we have a level of fear that there's not enough people on this planet who truly can think and reason without doing harm? And something else that was mentioned today is something that I've been doing, and I've got my dictionary laying here open, is I've been going through the words that start with R-E. You know, restore, recognize. What are some of the words that might come into play as we're learning how to live free? How about relationships? How are our relationships done? What's our reservations? What have we made a reservation? In other words, the reservation of an appointment to be somewhere, or the word reservation that we have concerns about. So suddenly, as we began going through the dictionary for words that we can even utilize, we began to realize that our language is getting in our way. So do we have a situation where things are so stacked against us that even if we completely 100% have liberty and freedom, we don't have as yet a language or a thought process to bring about anything different than what they did on the Mayflower Compact? They had the complete freedom, but they, to me, from what I hear and see in their writing of this, they still pledge themselves to a monarchy rather than, and they use the word sovereign connected with the Lord King James, when in reality, from my looking at it today, they as individuals were the sovereigns, and they didn't seem to express it. Did they really know it? And then how did this lead to the War of Independence from? So maybe it was this planting here that started it. I'm interested in those who know more about the history part of this to be able to connect it. So, Peter, do you have any thoughts about, and I know it's probably a little confusing of what I've laid out here, but I'm just trying to stimulate some thinking. Do you have anything to say?
No, not really, because it's kind of an abstract conversation for me to think about relative to some of the stuff that you're referencing. So that's, I hate to say it like this, but I'll be a little bit revealing. I have so many things going on now. I am so much on a day-to-day moment, almost a minute-to-minute, it feels like in some instances. So this long-term thinking is escaping me because I'm worried about the project that I have now at hand. I'm working with so many different people that are in so many different levels of one way or another needing attention. I'm not going to mention crisis, but some of them are in crisis because of this pandemic and the coronavirus, and so many things are changing. You know, cheese is friggin' flying all over the place. I'm a little bit, my brain is on tilt. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I'm overwhelmed. So I can't even open up the possibilities of this long-term thinking just yet, which is a problem because this long-term thinking is going to be here pretty soon or not. I'm not sure. Yeah, so there's my little comments. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, my it boils down to a question that Cheyenne and Don made a video about today. And the question is, have you been spiritually hijacked? And that's the question that I have is, have I been spiritually hijacked? Because if we are born free will, with free will and et cetera, somebody or something has hijacked our spirituality, taken us into what you're talking about, such a civilization that is so dysfunctional that we haven't got the time to even think. Survival is keeping us without thinking. And is this a plan to keep us from realizing that we truly can be enjoying life? And just the ability to be able to breathe, to be able to do the natural things that are part of living, and we're not able to enjoy life because so many things have hijacked that innate right. So that's kind of where I'm at with this right now.
Well, if you heard my little speech there, I've been hijacked. So, and I think I'm probably more in the majority nowadays, especially now what's going on with everything happening with this coronavirus pandemic that we're in. But anyway, so thanks for being here. For those people listening in, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Okay, you can just send me an email at idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com. That's projects with a plural, network single, idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com, or they can phone me on my mobile phone, 812-664-7419. Back to you, Peter.
Excellent. We're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal or Ideal Network, you'll be able to find Darlene's previous radio shows as well. And, of course, follow up with her. We'll catch you next week, everyone. Thanks and bye for now.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.